We're holding on Kuf Ches Amud Aleph by the Mishnah. Continuing with dealing with Basar B'Cholov. The Mishnah says, Tipas Cholov Shenafla Al Chaticha. If a drop of milk falls on a piece of meat that's in a, if a drop of milk falls on a piece of meat that's in a pot. Now, are we talking about that the piece of meat is completely, are we talking about that the piece of meat is partially in the pot? Or are we talking about that it's completely out of the pot? This you have a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos. Rashi learns that we're talking about the piece is that the piece is partially in the soup and partially outside of it. Tosfos learns it's talking about that the piece is completely outside the soup. As we're going to go through the sugya, we'll see the difference. We'll see why there is that difference. In any case, so the Mishnah says, "Im yeshba b'noisim tam ba'osa chaticha," if there is enough milk to give a flavor into that slice of meat, meaning, in other words, as we learned in the previous perek, normally it has to be bottled b'shishim. So in short, in other words, if the piece of meat is not at least 60 times the size of the drop of milk, so therefore it gives a flavor into it, osur, then it is going to be osur. Now, on the face of it, it means the piece of meat itself, although we're going to learn in the Gemara a different way of learning of it. But so far, it sounds like we're saying, in other words, that because the drop of milk fell on one particular piece, then therefore what happens is that particular piece itself absorbed the milk. It didn't necessarily exude into the other pieces. Now, again, according to Rashi, we're talking about the piece is actually partially in the soup and partially not. But therefore, what happens is, nevertheless, only that piece itself absorbs the milk, and it doesn't spread out into the other pieces unless you stir it or unless you cover the pot, as we're going to talk about later on. As a program, at least the way we're understanding so far, again, we're going to see in the Gemara, it may not be so. According to Tosfos, to begin with, the reason is because the piece itself is completely out of the soup, and therefore it's not exuding into the other ones, as opposed to if you stir it, then it ends up exuding into the other ones as well. Now, there is a point, by the way, we've talked about before, where chelev mefapeh b'kulei, that fat is able to penetrate and travel through all kinds of things over here. So in fact, Tosfos explains that would be a reason that Tosfos, as the Rosh Yosef explains in Tosfos, that would be a case over here that because the milk is fatty, then therefore that's a reason that it'll actually penetrate through the entire piece, and we're not going to say, for example, just kidei netzila. Had it not been fatty and had it not been whatever, then we might say that even in the piece itself, the entire piece of meat wouldn't become osur, only the area where the milk fell, but now because the milk is fatty. Another point is also that the Ran points out another point as well, because you have the steam from it is considered to that extent like a liquid, and therefore it can cause the flavor of the milk to spread throughout the whole piece. Okay, so in any case, so we're saying it is osur, where on the face of it, it means that piece itself. As far as the rest of the pieces, where then that's going to be depending on, as the Mishnah says, if he stirs it or covers it or whatever. We're going to see in the Gemara, it's not necessarily so. The Mishnah continues, near a sekdera. Now, if then he stirred the pot, in other words, when he stirred it right away, Rashi explains, before that piece had enough time to absorb the flavor by itself. So now the flavor of the milk has spread throughout the whole pot. You have the first case is it fell on the one piece of meat and it got absorbed throughout that piece, but it didn't exude into the other ones yet. So now the question is the flavor of that piece itself going to aser the other pieces in the pot? And it sounds like the Mishnah is saying that not. But then on the other hand, if you stirred it, that's if the piece itself absorbed the milk all by itself. And only then later on is it going to exude into the others, as opposed to if you stirred the pot right away, where therefore then immediately the flavor gets dispersed throughout the whole pot. So now we would have to talk about the whole pot being, so now we're not just talking about that individual piece being mevatelet, now we have to talk about the whole pot. So therefore, the Mishnah says, "In yeshba b'noisin tam ba'osik deira." So if the pot as a whole now, the contents of the pot as a whole, has a taste of milk, also, then it's going to be osur. So now, on the face of it, then we're drawing a distinction between whether it fell on the one piece by itself and had time to get absorbed into that piece versus where immediately you stirred the pot and it got dispersed throughout the whole pot. So in the first case, you would need the piece itself would need to have shishim, and in the second case, you would have to have the pot as a whole would have to have shishim. Now again, then you have the Machlokas, Rashi and Tosfos, where Rashi learns, at least the way the Rishonim understand him, that we're talking about that the piece itself is partially inside the soup and partially outside of it. Why it doesn't immediately exude into the rest of the pot's contents, we'll talk about later. According to Tosfos, rather, we're talking about that the piece that the milk fell on is entirely outside of the soup. So it was sitting on top of another piece, which is partially in, and this one is entirely out. And the idea is, in other words, that there's a concept that in order for absorption to then transfer to another one, it would have to be only below root. It can't be done below root if it can't be done unless there's some kind of liquid medium in between. So therefore, so here we're talking about that one piece is on top of another, and there's no liquid medium between them, and therefore it doesn't spread from one to the other. So the Gemara starts off Amar Abaya. Now we talked about in the previous parak, and now we're going to talk about more about the whole matter of Tam of Isser. We established before there's two ways in which you can have Isser mixed in with Heter. You can have the Tam of it, just the flavor of it, but not the Mamoshus. So say, for example, in the previous parak, we had talked about, let's say, for example, as far as the Gidan Nosha and the fat of it and whatever, and we talked about Nevela, where, for example, that it fell in and then you took it out right away before, so now you don't have the Mamoshus of it anymore, you only have the Tam, the taste of it, versus you have those where there can be the Mamosha, there's the actual substance of it. So Amar Abaya, time of Lema Moshe Ba'alma Da'araisa. In general, says Abaya, we have to say that you should say that a mixture that contains a flavor of Isser, and even though it doesn't have the Mamoshus anymore, is still going to be also Da'araisa. Namely, in other words, so we're going to say we're going to learn from Basa B'Chalav here later in the parak. We're going to talk about three times in the Torah. It says Le'Sivashu G'di B'Chalevim, and that means, in other words, once they're cooked together, they become usher. After you cook it out, you could take out the one. You cooked milk and meat together, let's say. You could take out the meat from the mixture, and you don't have the mamoshes of the meat anymore. All you have is the flavor. And nevertheless, it's still usher. And therefore, we can learn from that, says Abaya, to everywhere else, that tam ke'ikr is actually also daraisa. Why is that? Disakadait of Dirabbanan. Because, says Abaya, if you're going to say the whole concept of that is only Dirabbanan by other Isurim, and we wouldn't learn from Basa B'Cholav, then you would have to ask me, Basa B'Cholav my time of the Gaminan. Then you would have to ask, well, why don't we learn it from Basa B'Cholav? And you would have to say the Chidushu. And you would say, because it's a Chidush. Basa B'Cholav is a Chidush in the sense, in other words, you have two different things, which each by themselves is perfectly mutter, and only when you mix them together is it Osir. Second of all, also, that it's also even to cook it, even if you don't eat it, which we don't find. So by other Isurim you have, there's various Isurim to eat in the Torah, but you don't really have something like that where each one by itself would be mutter and only the combination becomes Osir. And then in addition, the point that you're not even allowed to cook them together. You're allowed to cook other kinds of Isurim. You're just not allowed to eat them. So here you have a Chidush when it comes to Basa B'Cholav, and therefore you could argue that maybe it's a Chidush, and therefore you shouldn't learn from it to other places. So maybe you should say Tam Ke'ikr would apply only by Basa B'Cholav. Maybe it doesn't apply by other Isurim as well. Tosfos points out another point as well, which the Gemara points out elsewhere, which is, you could, let's say, midaraisi, you could conceivably soak a piece of meat for a long time in milk, and it won't become osir, and midarabanan will be osir, of course, but midaraisi, it won't be osir, only if you cook them together, even though there's no question, if you soak the meat in milk, no question, it absorbed milk, and nevertheless, there'll be mutter minatora. But if you cook it, then it'll be osir. So you have a number of reasons why Basa B'Cholav should be considered a chidush relative to anything else. So if you're going to say that because it's a chidush and you're not learning from it to anywhere else, and you would say that anywhere else, you would say that tam is also only drabanon, then e chidushu, well, if you're going to argue that it's a chidush, afagat the lekanos in tam nami, then you would have to say that it would be osir even if it doesn't give a flavor. And yet we know it's not, because we see in our Mishnah that only if it gives a flavor do you have an Isser. So therefore, in other words, as much as you say that Basar B'Chalav is a Chiddush, nevertheless, we still say you have to. It has to give a flavor in order to be Osir. Therefore, we can learn that, and therefore, indeed, we can learn from that to everywhere else. Just because Basar B'Chalav is a Chiddush, we see that even so, the Torah is Mekel, and is saying that Basar B'Chalav doesn't become Osir unless one imparts a flavor to the other. Well, therefore, we have reason enough to say that that should apply, that that should apply to other Isurim as well. Because that's what we're saying. Because in other words, if we were to say that Basar B'Chalav is such a chiddush, then we would also have to say that should be also no matter what, whether there's a tam or not. In other words, plain and simple, the Torah tells us lo sevashal di b'chalavim three times. It should mean any amount. It should be any amount. Why would there have to be a tam? As long as you cooked any milk, any amount of milk, you cooked a huge pot of meat and one tiny drop of milk fell into it. Midaraisa, it ought to be also, if we're going to say it's a chiddush. And yet it's not. We see in our Mishnah that still, even with Basar B'Chalav, as much as it's a chiddush, as much as you have unique features in it that apply to no other Isurim Shabbat Torah, nevertheless, you still say you need a tam in order for it to be also. Therefore, we can say almost like by Kal Vachomer, by other cases where the Torah, where there's not such a chiddush, that the same thing should apply. Not really a kalachayim, but whatever. You can do a binyan av. You can indeed learn from binyan av from it to all the other ones. Yeah.
Maybe the Mishnah goes according to one Tana, who says goes according to every Tana.
Do we find any other Tana who disagrees? We don't see in our Mishnah any Tana who disagrees. If we find a Tana who disagrees, then we can talk. But right now, we don't see. What there is actually what we do have. Rashi points out, we learned in the previous parak, when we talked about the Zroya B'Shela, we talked about the cooked foreleg of the ram of the Nazir, the Shlomim of the Nazir, which was given to the Kohen, and we said there it's all cooked in the pot together, and nevertheless it still is not assuring the rest of it to Zorim, and we said the reason is because we said the leg is 1/60th, or according to one opinion, 1/100th of the rest of it, and therefore it doesn't give a detectable flavor. So in other words, like this, once we establish that there is a concept of tam ke'iter by Basar B'Chalav, then we can use the rule from the Zroya B'Shela, from the case of the ram of the Nazir, we can derive that if it's less than 1/60, then it's not a problem. But if we were to say that Basar B'Chalav is such a chiddush that we can't learn from it, then we wouldn't learn from anything else. We would say that by Basar B'Chalav, we would say that it's also even in the tiniest amount, and the fact is our Mishnah doesn't say that. Therefore, says Abaye, you can demonstrate from that the whole concept of tam ke'ikir is daraisa, as we can in fact learn it from Basar B'Chalav, and once we do, then how would we know? What's the figure? Then we use the Zroya B'Shela to tell us the actual figure, 1/60th. However, Omale Rava, but Rava says that's not really a proof, because you could in fact say that Basar B'Chalav is a chiddush for all the reasons that we said before, which, by the way, actually, we did say when it came to the Zerei B'Shela, we said there was a certain chiddush over there as well, because the fact that the Torah allows you to cook them together in the first place itself was a certain chiddush, because normally you're not allowed to be mevatel and iser. But fine, the point is, at least the idea is, in other words, that the Torah is telling you that there it can be bottle, and that you can, and it's telling you even there you can be mevatel and hatchila. Fine, at least we can learn from that. To other places, you can't be mevatel and hatchila, but if it became bottle, then it's fine. In any case, the Rava says that's not really a proof, because you could say that Basar B'Chalav is indeed a chiddush. But you're going to ask then in that case, then why isn't it also even if there's no tam? The reason is derech bishul also a Torah, because the Torah asks it when it's a way of cooked together, and when things are cooked together, then they give each other a flavor. So therefore, so the pasuk itself is implying, in other words, that only when there's a flavor, then it becomes also. So in other words, Rava is saying that. So Rava is saying that you don't necessarily have a proof from this case, the fact that it's also by Basar B'Chalav, that it should be also in all other cases in the Torah, maybe not. Now, on the face of it, we know when we have a machlokas, Abaya and Rava, the halacha is usually like Rava, and therefore on the face of it, it would mean that tam ke'ikir is derabbanan by most other isurim. In fact, Rashi does learn that way. Tosfos, on the other hand, says that no, Rava is just giving a dichui ba'almi, saying you can't prove it from here, but there's a different source from which you can indeed prove that tam ke'ikir. So in fact, the halacha would be that tam ke'ikir is daraisa. In other words, in short, so in a case like this, of basa b'chalav, or in a case of isu, cooked together with heter, if you don't have the actual substance of the isu anymore, just the flavor of it, would it be also a daraisa? Would it be also only dirabanan? According to Rashi, it would come out that it would be also only dirabanan. But according to Tosfos, it would come out that it is in fact also daraisa.
Once again, Rava's argumentation.
Rava's argument is that the derech bishul also Torah, precisely the fact that the Torah says you can't cook them together. Cooking implies a transfer of taste. So that itself implies that only when there's a flavor, only when there's a taste that goes from one to the other. If it's so small, if it's such a tiny amount, then you can't really call it that it was cooked together. So the Torah
should have said it then in the first place.
No, so that's the thing. So Abaya is saying that the Torah does not say anything about tam ke'ikir, and yet we're saying that applies to basa b'chalav. The only reason must be because this is a general thing that applies to all other isurim. Whereas Rava is saying no, the very fact that basa b'chalav it says lois tevashel implies that there's a transfer of taste, and if there's no transfer of taste, then it's not going to be osur. So in fact, we can say that the whole concept of tam, that tam should be a problem, is only dirabanan.
So let's say I put a piece of meat in a plastic and then I put it in milk and I boil it. So is it asr or not?
At least on a daraisa level, it may not be also because there's no transfer of taste. Midirabonon, we can talk about, especially because, you know, we talked about actually something in that connection the other day. We talked about something briefly from Moshe Feinstein, who talks about in a different context as far as, for example, cooking something in a non-kosher oven or something. We had a case where chicken was sold with the giblet still inside, including the liver, whereas we're going to learn later on in our parak, the liver is a... You're not allowed to cook the liver because it has too much blood in it. You have to roast it, Davka. And so he discussed the case where they found after they had cooked the chicken that the liver was still inside in a plastic bag. So yeah, then there's always a concern that the plastic bag may have a hole in it or something. So you do have that consideration. But yeah, in principle, if you knew that it was not, then at least on a daraita level, yeah, it wouldn't necessarily be a problem. Even dirabanan, it may or may not be. I don't know. Midrabanan, you might at least need klifa. You might need at least to peel off an outer layer of it. In any case, fine. So we have a machlokas Rashi, we have a machlokas Abaya and Rava, and in turn, in connection with that, a machlokas Rashi and Tosfos, what the halacha is, whether tam ke'ikir is also darais or only drabanan. The Gemara continues. Omar Rav, kivin shenosan tam b'chaticha. Now, so Rav says, when the milk gave a flavor into one of the pieces over there, as in our Mishnah, where it just fell on one piece, chaticha atzma, nasis nevela, then the piece itself becomes in effect nevela, v'oseres kol chatichas kolon, and it makes all the other pieces, v'mpeshehen mina, because they're the same min as it, because they're all pieces of meat. As we learned in the previous perek about the matter of chaticha nasis nevela, that sometimes we say when a piece absorbed iser, then it as a whole becomes as if it was nevela, and therefore, in other words, for now, it's not enough to have So now it's not enough to have the entire contents of the pot to be mevatel, the milk that fell in. You're actually going to need the contents of the pot are going to need to be mevatel, the piece as a whole that absorbed the milk. So in other words, Rav would say that when it's said in the Mishnah, im yeshba benosim tam ba'osa chaticha osur, that it is osur, Rav would say osur doesn't just mean the individual piece, means the entire contents of the pot. And all of them become also again because they're it's min. Now Rashi explains. Rav holds like Rabbi Yehuda, who says, as we've learned before, that min meminu led bottle, that one thing cannot be that an object cannot be bottle in other things of the same min. Um, so uh, So in other words, Rav is saying two things basically. We don't consider that you just have to consider the amount of milk that fell onto it and then need shishim connected that. No, we say that since the original piece didn't have shishim, it as a whole became author. And second of all, we're saying that even if the rest of the pot does have shishim, then that's no good because min meminay le bottle. So the result is the whole pot would be also either way. Omale mazutra beizra mori l'ravina. So Rav is saying that the pot as a whole is also, and it doesn't even in the ratio of the mission, it doesn't even talk about stewing the pot. So when it says it is also, means the entire pot is going to be also, unless the piece that it fell on to begin with had 60, then no good. The whole pot is actually going to be become also. So the reason is because chaticha nasin tevela, because the piece as a whole, the milk as a whole is not going to go through the piece to the rest of the pot, but the flavor of the meat, which now became osir by virtue of chaticha nasin tevela, is now going to go to all the other pieces as well. So how Rav will explain the next case of the Mishnah about where it was stirred, we'll get back to that soon. Okay. So the Gemara says, "Omalei Mazutra Bredir Amori LaRavina Mechdi." So let's consider, says Mazutra, Rav Kaman Omal Shmaite. According to whom is Rav saying his statement? Evidently, Rav Yehuda. According to Rav Yehuda, the Amar where he said, which we've learned a number of times before, min b'mina le bottle, that an object is not bottle in other things of its own min. Meaning, in other words, even if you have 60, Rav Yehuda is not going to allow it. He's not going to allow it because it is ultimately all. The same, because it is ultimately all the same min. So the problem with that is lema pliga ad rava. What would that mean then? That what Rav is saying disagrees with Rava. Now, certainly, Rav and Rava are entitled to disagree on what Rav Yehuda says, but we should assume, especially because usually the halacha is like Rav in matters of issa v'heter, and the halacha is also like Rava against Abaye in most cases. And we had a case in the previous perek, Kasavar Rav Yehuda, that Rav Yehuda held when we had a case over there. Involving Gid Anoshe, involving non-kosher food that was in a pot with kosher food as well as other ingredients. So Rashi says we're referring back to that Gemara. Tosva says that it's not actually that Gemara. It's a different Gemara in Menachos. Anyway. So the Amar Rava, kosher min kasavar of Yehuda, that Yehuda holds, kosher min minu the dava acher. Whenever you have a mixture of min b'minu, one thing with its own min, and you also have she'ene minu, you also have something else of a different min mixed in there as well. As in the example we had over there, where you had, for example, a pot that contained, for example, kosher meat and a piece of nevela or non-kosher fish, kosher fish and a piece of non-kosher fish. So we said, and in addition, you have all the water and the soup over there. So Rava had said, "Stalikas minikishen kamisha enoi." What you do is you ignore you pretend as though the kosher min of its type was removed. She'ene min and Rava all of them avatli, and then you'll have even according to Rav Yehuda, the she'ene minoi is going to be able to overwhelm it and make a majority. In other words, Rava is saying as long as you have you ignore the min of heter, it doesn't become osur, it doesn't become mutter, we ignore it altogether, and we say, how much of enei minoi, how much of the soup, for example, to mimavatel over here? Well, here you have enough soup to mimavatel the piece. So why is Rav saying that the pot as a whole is going to be osur? So would we have to say that they're disagreeing about what Rabbi Yehuda holds? Omale, but Ravina says, not really, because Eden Nofel, but Reuter Raka Hochinami. If it fell into a thin soup, which is mostly water, then fine, then you could say what Rava is saying, that you would ignore the meat in it, and you would focus on the soup, and the soup would in fact be enough to mimavato this one piece. But what are we dealing with over here? The nothing word out of other. It fell into a thick soup where the soup, most of the substance of the soup, consists of shreds of meat and fat. So therefore, you can't really say there's any mino over here. There's not really any noticeable any mino over here. The whole thing over here is really minoy. The whole thing is minoy, and therefore, following Rabbi Yehuda, then you're going to say that even if there's enough, even if there's 60, then it's no good, because then again, all of it is considered the same min. And again, according to Rabbi Yehuda, we would say that it's not bottle. Okay, so that would be why Rav is saying that the whole pot is also. Okay. Still, the Gemara says, my kasover, fine, but what does Rav hold about this case where the one piece absorbed the milk and the taste of it that was also, and then we're saying it's cooked together with other pieces, and fine, we're going to say it's a thick soup, and we're saying that the soup as a whole is considered meat. But now, like this, after all, what happens when you stir the pot or when you continue cooking it, then the flavor eventually exudes from that piece and gets dispersed more or less evenly throughout the whole pot. This is a concept which we touched on in the previous credit called Epshul Asoistoi. Is it possible to squeeze it out? Hypothetically, if it were possible, in other words, the idea is like this. We say Chaticha Nasas Nevela, the piece itself becomes also. But hypothetically, if we were able to squeeze out every molecule of the ether that it absorbed, would it become mutter again? We have two different ways of looking at it. We can say it's also because as a practical matter, there's ether in it and there's no way to get it out. But hypothetically, if it were possible to get it out, then it would become mutter again. Or do we say that, and in that case, then we would say over here, in that case, then we would say that fine, not all of it has been removed, but enough of it has been removed that now it's been attenuated, it's been weakened. Now you have the flavor as a whole is in the entire pot, not just in this piece. So we ought to say then that we shouldn't need shishim kenegin the whole piece. So what does Rav hold? If he holds that if Epshul Asoichtei, then hypothetically it could become mutter, and then it would, and then because then it doesn't have anything in it that would make it also anymore. Now, it doesn't mean you'd be allowed to, of course, Tosfos points out, in Mevatan Issa L'Chatchila, But if hypothetically, if it was removed, or in this case where it was dispersed throughout the whole pot, then it would become mutter. Well, then chaticha, my nasas nevela. Then why would the piece to begin with become nevela? If Rav is saying the rule is chaticha nasas nevela, that means, in other words, it becomes nevela, and like nevela, which is always going to be intrinsically also, and there's no way to make it mutter, so it would be over here. But if you were to say epshul seichtei mutter, then you shouldn't be saying that. So you would just say, as long as it has enough of a flavor of milk to make it osur, then it remains osur. But if not, then it becomes munter. Ella kasover efshal asoichter osur. Evidently, then Rav must hold efshal asoichter osur, even if you were able to squeeze it all out. Then it would still remain osur. Once b'secha ticha nasas nevela, once it becomes osur, once it becomes intrinsically osur, then it remains intrinsically osur, even if the isur has actually been removed from it. So now you're going to need shishim, not just connected the original milk, but connected the whole piece. And on top of that, if we hold like Rabbi Yehuda, as Rav does, and holds that min min also, then it means even if you have 60 connected that whole piece, then it would be no good. But even let's say it was with she'enei mina, even let's say this meat was cooked with other vegetables, with vegetables, let's say you would need not only 60 keneged the milk, you would need 60 keneged the whole piece of meat. It comes out, by the way, from everything that we're saying so far, according to Rashi anyway, that this concept of Chaticha Nasas Nevela applies in general to all these sodim. As we learned from the previous pedek, there's an opinion of Rabbeinu Ephraim that Tosfos had brought that it applies only to Basa B'Cholav. And again, there's a Machlokas Rishonim about that. We did talk about that in Shulchan Aruch, when it brings these dinim, the Mechaber first brings that it applies only to Basa B'Cholav and doesn't apply to other Isurim. By other Isurim, we would just look at the actual amount of Isur that fell in, whereas according to the Ramah, we follow the opinion that Chaticha Nas Nevela applies across the board to all Isurim, and therefore that means in many other cases, then this whole issue would come up as well. Now, the halacha is now whether the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, that min b'mina is not bottle, that's a different question. Rashi holds that the halacha is like Rabbi Yehuda, min b'mina le bottle, and therefore that would mean, and again, that in our case over here, if this piece became also chaticha nas nevela, then it doesn't matter how many other ones it's mixed in with, it's still going to be also. As we've discussed before, Tosfos and many other Rishonim disagree with that and say that the halacha is that that min b'mina can be bottle as well as long as you have 60. So this is how Rav is understanding the Mishnah. Okay, the Itzman, as in fact we have a discussion on that very point. Rav and Rav Chanina and Rav Yochanan and Ami Efshal Soch to Isser. Rav and Rav Chanina and Rav Yochanan all hold that when a piece absorbed Isser, even if hypothetically you could squeeze it all out, then still it would still remain Isser because it itself becomes Nevela. On the other hand, Shmuel, Rav Shimon Bar Rebbe, Rav Shlokesh to Ami Efshal Soch to Mutter, three other Amoraim, Shmuel, Rav Shimon Bar Rebbe, and Resh Lakish, these are all the usual bipluktas of the first three. Rav usually argues with Shmuel, Rav Chanina usually often argues with Rav Shimon Berebi, and Rav Yochanan with Resh Lakish. So each of them say, Efshal Aserchtei Mutter, the piece itself does not become Nevela. If you were able to squeeze out all of the Isser, then it would be Mutter. And that would mean, in other words, that in a case like ours, where the piece originally absorbed milk, but then afterwards the flavor dispersed throughout the rest of the pot, then we would say that actually the piece itself becomes mutter again, or mutter to the extent, in other words, that now you don't need shishim connected the whole piece, you only need shishim connected the milk. The question is, Sava Rav Efshal Aserchtei Aser, you're telling me that Rav holds that Efshal Aserchtei Aser, and therefore that if the piece absorbed milk, then it itself becomes Chaticha Nas Nevela. So you're telling me that Rav holds that? V'har Itmar. But we have a discussion on a point the other way around. Till now we've been talking about where a drop of milk fell into a pot of meat. Let's talk about the other way around. Kazayis Basar Shenafel Aserch Yoda Shel Cholav. Suppose you have a big pot, Yoda usually means a very, very large pot, where kazayas of meat fell into it. Omar Rav, Basar Aser B'chol of Mutter. Rav says the meat will be Aser because it got a flavor from the milk. But the milk will be Mutter because the flavor that the meat exuded into it is not going to be noticeable. It's going to be less than shishim, and therefore it's fine. Now, the question is, Cholav Amayim Mutter. The question is, according to Rav, why would the milk be Mutter? Cholav Nevelahu. Yeah, in the same case, the same way as we said, Chaticha Nas Nevela, we should have to say the milk itself becomes Nevela. A little bit of milk does get absorbed into the meat after all, and that milk becomes Nevela. Now, when it gets exuded from the meat and gets mixed with the rest of the milk, then it's min mimina. It's milk with milk. And according to what Rav has been saying all along, according to Rabbi Yehuda, that should be Aser. So, because in other words, you have absorption in both directions. You have first some milk goes into the meat, and then it exudes out from the meat into the rest of the milk, and at that point, you have min b'mina, and according to what Rav is saying, it shouldn't be bottle. So that shows, in other words, that we hold that Rav does not hold Chaticha Nas Nevela, and he does not hold Efshal Aserchtei Aser. If you could squeeze it out, then it would be completely mutter. Therefore, in our case over here, if you could completely remove the taste of the meat from the milk, then it would be mutter. And therefore, that explains why it'll be mutter, but then that contradicts what we just said, that Rav holds Efshal Aserchtei Aser. So the answer is, Lo'olam Kasava Rav Efshal Aserchtei Aser. In fact, Rav does hold that even if Efshal Aserchtei, it still remains also, even though in theory you could squeeze it all out or you could disperse the taste of it throughout the rest of it, it will be also the shiny hossam. But you know why? In this case, when you're talking about a pot of milk where a piece of meat fell in, the shiny hossam, the difference is Dharmakur, the Savashal Gdi Bachalevima, because the Torah focuses on the Gdi, on the goat, which is say the meat. It says don't cook the Gdi, the goat, Bachalevima in its mother's milk, which from that we can learn Gdi Osra Torah Valechal. The Torah is asu in the milk, is asu in the meat, and not the milk. Now that's not to say, of course, that's not to say, of course, when you cook milk and meat together, the milk is going to be mutter. But in other words, even if there was enough meat to give a flavor into the milk, then Rav is going to hold that the milk will remain mutter. So yes, the milk that got absorbed into the meat is going to be mutter, even though it absorbed a flavor from the meat, and therefore the whole thing is going to remain osur. It will remain mutter min haTorah, min haDirabanan. Of course, it'll be min haDirabanan. It will indeed be osur. So in other words, that's why Rav is mentioning a case of kezias of meat in a giant pot of milk. So in fact, the taste is not noticeable. If the taste was noticeable, then at least it would be also dirabanan. But now, when the taste is not noticeable, midaraisa, there's certainly no problem. Midaraisa, according to Rav, we're saying that would be mutter even if the milk did have a detectable flavor of meat. And midarabanan, it would be also only if you have a tam, and here you don't have that. So that's Tosfos explains. In other words, if you fell into a small amount of milk, then it would indeed be all considered like a gdi because of the fat of the meat that gets mixed into the milk and doesn't become bottle. But here, where you have enough to be mevatel, the fattiness of the meat, then we don't care about that milk got absorbed into the meat and then got exuded again. Now, we shouldn't even bring up the point. What about we just said before, tam ke iker? If we said on Amud Aleph, the tam ke iker is also that don't have a problem as well. Again, min miminai. So there's an explanation that the Rihazokin, that Tosfos brings an explanation on this from the Rihazokin, one of the early Balei Tosfos. Not like this. If the milk was also because of Bosa B'cholov, then again, we would say Chatichanas Nevela, and we'd ask all the rest of the milk. But now the Gemara is saying, because Gdi Osra Torah V'lecholov, that intrinsically only the meat becomes also, not the milk, then therefore it's only also because of the mixture of meat in it. Fine, it becomes Nevela, but the only reason is because of that flavor, and therefore, so you're not going to say that the milk, which became also because of that mixture of flavor, is going to be worse off than the meat itself. So the meat itself can be bottle, because min b'shein and minay, then therefore also the milk that absorbed the flavor of the meat is also going to be bottle. There's a concept the post can call this Ein Neser Chomer Min HaOser. What became Oser can't be stronger than the thing that astered it. In this case, if according to Rab, the meat itself is not going to aster the milk, then certainly the flavor that came out of the meat is not going to aster the milk. And this comes up in other areas of halacha as well. For example, you have salt that you use to kasher meat and it absorbed blood. And then let's say you mistakenly reuse that salt and put it into a pot of meat. So even though the salt itself is definitely giving a flavor, as long as you have 60 times kinegadit, then it's fine because the whole issue is because of the blood in it. And therefore, if the blood itself is not going to be enough to ask, then neither is the salt. So there you have an actual example of this kind of thing. The flavor of it is not going to answer it if the object itself is not answering it. So that's another answer that's given that Ramban brings an answer, and the Ran as a whole detailed discussion of our sugya that's printed at the end of the Masechta, and he explains, in other words, the fact that the Torah mentions only the Gdi and focuses on that means that the milk, it's actually Xeris HaKosov. Normally we would say that Tam Keiker, but over here Xeris HaKosov, the Torah is telling us that nevertheless it remains Mutu even though it has that flavor. But in fact, Rab would indeed hold that Epshel Asochter Osir. And here you have an exception for these reasons that we're talking about. Okay, the question is, Sover Rab Gdi Osir Torah V'lecholov. So you're telling me then that Rab says that only the meat is going to be Osir, not the milk. But we have a discussion on a related point. Suppose a person cooked a half kezias of meat and a half kezias of milk together. So now, in other words, you have a full kezias of the iser blended together of the two of them, but there was not a full kezias of each of the components by itself. So Rav says he will get malchus for eating it, but he's not going to get malchus for cooking it because the cooking, he didn't do a full kezias of each one. By the way, Rashi mentions the point. How exactly do you measure a kezias of milk or any other liquid like that? Rashi explains. You take a cup full of liquid. You put an olive into it, and you see the volume of that olive, and then that volume will be the equivalent to the amount of milk. This is in general true in halacha whenever you're trying to figure the volume of a liquid. So now Rav says he's going to get malchus for eating it, but not for cooking it. Now, you're going to tell me that the Torah is focusing the issue on the meat, but not on the milk. Then why is he getting malchus for eating? Then in effect, he's eating only a chatzishir. If you're going to tell me both the milk and the meat are equally awesome, then yeah, you have a kezias over here, and then he gets malchus for eating the full kezias. But if you're telling me that the Torah is not really asking the milk at all, even if it absorbed the flavor from it, then by the same token, he shouldn't be getting malchus for eating the milk at all, only for eating the meat. So therefore, obviously, Rav holds that both of them are equally awesome. So fine. In fact, what we're going to say is that, yes, not like we were saying that only the milk is going to be also according to Rav, the milk is going to be also as well, unless you have shishim and you don't have a tam, and again, you do have the issue again, that if meat fell into milk, then you're going to have the problem again that the meat absorbed a certain amount of milk, and then that milk becomes nevela, and now when it goes into the rest of the milk, then you're either going to need shishim, or if you say that min b'mina is not bottle, then it's not going to be bottle at all. Fine. So then why does Rav say in our case over here why does Rav say in the case of the kezias of meat that fell into the pot, where Rav had said the meat is also and the milk is mutter, why would that be? Because the case would be over here, because it fell into a boiling pot of milk, the midla bala miflat lepolat. So then the meat absorbs the milk, but it doesn't yet exude it back into the pot because of the boiling, it doesn't yet have time to exude into the pot. So therefore there's not going to be anything that came out of the meat. To aster the milk. Now that's according to Rashi, that as long as the pot is boiling, then it's not going to be able to exude. Tosfos asks on that. Wait a minute. I mean, we can always see. For example, you take a pot with a soup boiling on it, and you put vegetables in there. Then the soup starts changing colors from what gets exuded from the vegetable. Or if you put in hot meat, then immediately you're going to see some of the fat melts off and ends up on the surface. So what do you mean, miflat lepolit? So Tosfos brings from Rabbeinu Shmuel, which is the Rashbam, that what it means is it's going to absorb, but until it finishes absorbing, it's not going to exude. Once it's finished absorbing from the pot, then it will start exuding as well. And Tosfos explains in that vein the next part of the Gemara in accordance with that. But then Tosfos says it's a little hard to see that. I mean, how long? Tosfos mentions in that connection an interesting point that would come out of that as far as the halachas of hagola. We know that one of the ways of kashering dishes is to dip them in a pot of boiling water. Well, then Tosfos says based on what the Rashbam is saying, it would come out when you're doing Hag'olah of Kalim. It's not just enough to dip them in there momentarily. You would have to wait a while to allow enough time for all of it to exude, because again, it takes time for that kind of thing to happen. Tosfos says, but I mean, how are you supposed to know? So rather, Rabbeinu Tam gives a different explanation of our Gemara. When we say miflat lepolit, it means it doesn't exude what it absorbed just now, but it will exude what it absorbed beforehand. So beforehand, this meat hadn't absorbed any milk. Now it just absorbed milk. It's not exuding it yet, but it has its own juices, its own things like that, that it's going to exude. So that again has implications as far as the halachas of Hagolas Kalim. On the face of it, you shouldn't have a problem if you do Hagolah on one keli and then you do another one. Wouldn't you have that the water becomes ulcer because of what was exuded, and then the second one is going to absorb from it? So we're not going to say that. We're not going to say that. We might say that. In fact, you might even have within one keli itself. It's going to exude from one side and get reabsorbed in the other. In fact, Tosfos says, for that reason, you should not do Hagolah on a keli that's ben yomei, that was used in the last 24 hours, unless the water was 60 times as much. So then this is negeh lahalacha. When it comes to Chukos Pesach, or in general during the year, if a person has to do Hagala, you're supposed to. For that reason, you have to wait with Hagala until 24 hours. At that point, the taste in it becomes nois and tam lefgam, and therefore it's not going to ask, therefore min haTorah, at least it wouldn't ask her another keli, even the same keli, if it gets reabsorbed, and therefore we have less of an issue of it if it doesn't, even if it gets reabsorbed. In any case, the point is that all Gemara is saying over here that when the meat fell into a boiling pot, that it's not going to exude. Either it's not going to exude at all as long as it's boiling, according to Rashi, or it's not going to exude right away, according to Rashbam, or it's not going to exude what it just absorbed, at least until not later on, according to Tosfos. So that would be a reason. In other words, again, this kezias of meat fell into this huge pot of milk. So it absorbed. It doesn't yet have time to exude back into the pot, and therefore the milk will remain mutter. So it would mean, in other words, that Rav is saying, you have to be talking about that there was shishim, and that it fell in only after it was boiling. So they want to ask, sof ki noya chodapolit. Fine, but then when the boiling calms down, then the meat is definitely going to exude what it absorbed, and then the milk is going to become ulcer. And the answer is kshikotam basilka. Rav would be talking about where right away you took out the meat while the pot was boiling before it had an opportunity to exude. So in that specific case, then Rav will say the milk will remain mutter. So not like we said before that Rav is going to say across the board that with Basa B'chala only the meat is ulcer and the milk is mutter. On the other hand, it doesn't contradict the idea of Efshel Asoftei ulcer, because if the meat absorbed milk and then exuded it, then in fact all the milk is going to become ulcer, and only because over here it was boiling and therefore that kept it from exuding temporarily according to the different opinions, and you took it out right away, then that saves the milk and prevents it from becoming not kosher. Fine. So that'll explain Rav. So now the Gemara continues, Gufa, getting back to what we said before, Chatzizai's boss of Chatzizai's cholob, Shabishlan Zaim's, eh? If a person cooked together a half kazayas of meat and a half kazayas of milk, Omar Rav loika alachilosavane loika albishulai, so Rav says he's getting malchus for eating it, because then you have a full kazayas of Isser, but he's not getting malchus for cooking it, because the cooking was only a half and a kazayas of each. So they want to ask why, Marafshach, either way, it doesn't seem to work. Imit Starfin, if you consider that they do combine together, Abishul Nami Loki, then you should get malchus for the cooking as well, because you have a full kazayas of Isser. Elon with Stifen, and if they don't combine together, Achila Nami Loki, then you shouldn't get Malkus for the eating either. So what is Rav talking about? So the answer is, La'olam lo mitstafi. In fact, we're going to say that they don't combine together unless you had a shear to begin with. Unless you had a full kazayas to begin with. What Rav is talking about is where these two half kazayasim come from a larger pot. Where, in other words, Rav is saying like this, if a person ate a half kazayas of meat and half kazayas of milk that came from a big pot, meaning, in other words, you had at least a kazayas of each one cooking in this pot, and now he ate a half kazayas of each one, so then he's getting malchus for the eating it, because he ate a full shear. But on the other hand, if he would have cooked together only half kazayas of one and half kazayas of the other, then he wouldn't be over on the cooking, because it doesn't combine together to be called an isser until each one is considered an isser by itself, and therefore in fact he wouldn't get malchus for the eating it as well. So in other words, Rav is not talking about one single case. Rav is actually talking about two different cases, one where he had a kazayas of meat and a kazayas of milk, and therefore they became osir. And now when he eats a half kazayas of each one, he'll be chayav malchus. But if he only cooked together half kazayas of each one, then to begin with he wouldn't be getting malchus. That's according to Rav. The Levi Omar, Levi disagrees and says, "Af loika al bishulei, no, a person would get malchus even if he just cooked a half kazayas of one and a half kazayas of the other." It doesn't have to be like Rav is saying, as the Gemara has just explained Rav, that where it was a big pot that contained a kazayas of each one, that then he'd get malchus for the cooking it, but not if it was a half kazayas of each one. No, Levi says that even a half kazayas of each one cooking together is enough to get him malchus. V'chein toni, Levi masnissin, and Levi also taught so in a braisa which he composed, or masnissa, it says on the side, the Marashal says it's supposed to be masnissa, which means in a braisa, Levi put together a collection of braisas of his own, which is quoted in many places in Shas, in general, many of the Talmudim of Rebbe in that general, Levi was one of the Talmudim of Rebbe, and many of the Talmudim of Rebbe in the period immediately after the Mishnah was written, they composed collections of Braises to help explain the Mishnah. Most famously, we have the Braises of Rav Chiya and Rav Oshia, which are collected together and printed in the back of most Masechtas as the Tesefta, and then you have different other collections of different other Chachamim of that period, including Levi, including Karna. You have a couple of others that I mentioned here and there in Shas. Anyway, so Levi tore a b'raisa. Kishen shaloka alachim, also just like a person who got malchus for eating a kazayas of combined basam b'chalav, kach loka al bishulah. In the same way, he's getting malchus also for cooking them together. Over Ezer, bishul omer. So in other words, he doesn't hold like Rav that it has to be a kazayas of each one in the cooking in order to be osur. He holds that even if you have a kazayas together of the both of them in the cooking, that's already osur midaraisa and chayav malchus. And by the way, Levi says, over Ezer, bishul omer, what kind of degree of cooking are we talking about that would make it osur? That it would be chayav malchus, that would be osur daraisa and chayav malchus, bishul shachedim oichlen oisem achas bishulai, where it's cooked enough that achedim, meaning goyim, would eat it at that point once it's cooked. In other words, it has, obviously, since it's basar b'chalav, a Jew is not going to eat it, so in other words, it has to be fully cooked. Now, what do we mean by fully cooked over there? It sounds like it means only when it's a, now you have, for example, in the halachas of Shabbos, for example, we have something called mitstamek v'raloi, where you have something that's cooked, and if you cook it any further, it's going to start ruining it. So does Rashi mean that? The Prima Gadim learns that way, that it means that it's already cooked so much that it would be edible by most people, and maybe even that if he cooked it any more, then it would start deteriorating. On the other hand, the Ritva explains it to me, the famous Michael Ben Derusoi, that it means when it's only partially cooked, like Ben Derusoi, the famous bandit, who would eat his food partially cooked, one-third or one-half, according to Rashi, and one-half, according to the Rambam. So therefore, maybe it would mean, when it was cooked, would mean the minimum amount, namely that one-third or one-half, and that would already be Oster, and that would already be Oster Daraisa. According to Levi. The Chassam Sofer brings an interesting point in this connection, that it would mean, in other words, when would the person be chayav for the milk, only when milk takes less time to cook than meat. So, in other words, it has to be to the point where the meat is edible by a goy. And in fact, it says, that's what he says. Here, we were talking about before, Leisavashu gedi b'chalev imay, and the Torah seems to be focusing more on the gedi than on the cholov. Why is that? The Chassam Sofer says that's why, because based on what Levi is saying over here, it does have to be cooked enough that the meat is going to be edible, even though a much lesser time than that is necessary for the milk to be edible. Okay. So now we've been talking about this matter of Efshel Seichtoi, and we said before that there's machlokas between two groups of Amoroyim about Efshel Seichtoi also a mutter. Where again, hypothetically, if all the flavor or enough of the flavor of the Isser was squeezed out of the Heter, would it become mutter again? So we said there's machlokas Amoroyim on that. And the Gemara points out, Efshel Seichtoi asma tanoihi. That point of Efshel Seichtoi itself is a machlokas tanoihi. Detanya, we learn in a braisa, tipas cholov shenafla alachaticha, if a drop of milk falls on a piece of meat in the pot, again, where it's partially in the pot, according to Rashi, or completely out of the, partially in the soup, according to Rashi, and completely out of the soup, according to Tosfos, kivin shenosna tam b'chaticha, so the braisa says, once it gave a flavor into that piece of meat, achaticha atma, nasas nevela, then that piece itself becomes nevela, v'oiseres, kol achatichas kulon, and it answers all the other pieces in neshen mina, because they're the same type as it. Give it a Yehuda, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says, and again, as Rabbi Yehuda says, as we've learned before, that chaticha, not only chaticha nasas nevela, but also it's the same min. But also it's the same min, and Rabbi Yehuda would hold min b'min loy batal, as we said so far. So in fact, the Gemara is going to explain further that it means that even if he stirred the pot right away, and you could say that it got dispersed, nevertheless, it's still going to be also, as the Gemara is going to explain soon. Okay, give it Rabbi Yehuda, that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. V'chum say, ad shetitin tam b'roiter v'chifo v'chatiches, it becomes, the whole pot becomes osur, only if the milk was enough to give a flavor into the, not only into the piece, but also into the soup, and the kifa, the stuff that falls to the bottom, the little shreds of meat and spices and whatever that collect at the bottom of the pot, or v'chatiches and the actual pieces of meat themselves. So it sounds like then they're arguing about Chatzich Anas and Nevela. It sounds like according to Rabbi Yehuda, the piece itself becomes Nevela, and according to the Chachamim, not, because it got dispersed throughout the whole pot. So it sounds like, in other words, the Chachamim are saying, Ekshe L'Sech De Mutter, even though this piece itself originally absorbed the milk, but now it got dispersed throughout the rest of the pot, and therefore we would say the piece itself becomes Mutter again, and it's going to become also only if the entire pot doesn't have 60 connected the milk. That's what it sounds like. And the Braisa continues, Omer Rebbe, Nirin, Divir Rebbe Yehuda, Vishla Nir Velech Kisa. Rebbe Yehuda's opinion seems to be more logical when he didn't stir the pot or cover it. The Divir Chacham, Vishnir Vekisa, whereas the opinion of the Chacham would fit better if he stirred the pot or if he covered it. Because stirring or covering it is going to cause that now you're going to have more of a mixture between them. Stirring it is obviously then you're mixing things around, so the flavor is going to spread throughout the whole thing. And as far as covering it, Rashi explains, that causes it to boil more intensely, so therefore that causes that now stuff on the bottom is going to come to the top and so forth, and therefore it's going to get churned up nicely together. So we said before at the beginning of the sugya that Rashi holds that we're talking about over here, the piece was partially in the soup, and Rashi never said that in so many words, but Tosfos and all the other Rishonim explain that Rashi holds that way because when Rashi is saying over here that the soup now goes up to the top of the pot, because in other words, that still means to the top of the pot, meaning in other words, to that piece itself. So when he didn't stir it, then it seems more logical, says Rebbe, to accept Rebbe Yehuda's opinion that you have to focus on that piece itself because it wouldn't have gotten dispersed throughout the rest of the pot. Whereas the Chachamim's opinion that you should consider the whole pot would work better if the whole thing was stirred. Now, let's consider Maile Nir Velekisa. When Rebbe says that Rebbe Yehuda is talking about that Rebbe Yehuda's opinion is more logical when he didn't stir it, he didn't cover it. Ilemele near klal like kisa klal. Do you mean he didn't stir it at all, or he didn't cover it at all? Then you have to ask. Then of course, mivla bala miflat lepalit. Well, then only that piece will have only absorbed the meat. Will have only absorbed the milk. It won't have exuded it into anything else. And therefore, why should it be osir? So even according to him, why should the rest of the pieces be osir? Why would it be also? Why wouldn't we say that piece itself absorbed? In other words, if we would say Efshel Sechte Mutter, then we would say that even though it absorbed it, but you never stirred the pot at all. But if you never stirred the pot at all, how is the rest of the pot even becoming osir? So you're going to say it means he didn't stir it at the beginning, but he stirred it later on after it absorbed. He didn't cover the pot at the beginning, only later on after it absorbed. Amai, why would anything be osir? It absorbed it, but then it exuded it. And if we assume that Efshel Sechte is mutter, then it means, in other words, it did absorb it, it became osir, but now it exuded it into the rest of the pot, and now it all becomes, and now it all becomes mutter. Obviously it must be that Rebbe holds that even Efshel Sechte also, once it absorbed the milk, Chatzich Anas is Nevela, and therefore any flavor that comes out of this meat afterwards is like the flavor of Nevela, and it is in fact going to aster the rest of the pot. And again, since Rebbe Yehuda holds Min Meminah is not bottle, then therefore it's not going to be bottle, and that's that. In fact, the Ran points out that then if we say Efshel Sechte also, it doesn't matter whether it was stirred at the beginning or at the end or the whole time. Even if it wasn't stirred at all, then nevertheless, you still have the meat of it, this flavor of it, again, since it's partially in the soup, is going to exude out to everything else, and therefore it's going to make them also. Now, what does that mean? Now, that's what Rebbe is saying. It seems more logical to accept Rebbe Yehuda's opinion when he stirred it only later on. The implication seems to be that Rabbi Yehuda would say if he stirred it the whole time, from when the milk fell in, or he covered it the whole time, then the whole thing should be osir, because Rabbi Yehuda himself is not drawing that distinction. Rebbe is drawing that distinction and saying it seems more logical to apply Rabbi Yehuda's din to that kind of case. Amai, now again you have the question, holei bala klal, it didn't absorb it at all. If it didn't, it had no chance to absorb it in that piece more than anything else. So why should Rabbi Yehuda say that that piece itself is going to become also? And the answer is, because according to Rabbi Yehuda, you might say he did stir it, but maybe he didn't stir it thoroughly, or he covered it, but he didn't cover it thoroughly. So maybe he didn't do it enough to cause that the milk is actually going to, that it maybe, in other words, the milk will temporarily have gotten absorbed into this piece, enough to make it chaticha nas in the vela, and later on, then he stirred, and then he stirred it, but nevertheless, it's too late. This piece already became nevela. So Rebbe is going to disagree with that, and he's going to say we don't have to worry about that kind of thing, and therefore we can say that if he stirred it right away from beginning to end, then it'll be fine. But according to Rabbi Yehuda himself, we would say that it would be also either way because of this gzera. So then that would explain Rabbi Yehuda. That would explain Rabbi Yehuda's opinion. That would explain Rebbe's opinion about that. In any case, we see then that Rabbi Yehuda and Rebbe seem to agree with the concept that even though you could squeeze it out, it still remain osur. All it is when you stirred it right away or covered it right away, then Rebbe is not concerned about chaticha nas nevela because this piece didn't absorb more than anything else. They all absorbed equal amounts, and therefore you can say that it's min mishene mina and Rabbi Bottle. Whereas Rabbi Yehuda is going to be concerned that maybe it absorbed first and then exuded. Meanwhile, we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, so we see that there is an opinion of Tanoim, that Efshel Sechtei Osir, which is the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, and then we'll continue tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem, and the Gemara is going to continue analyzing the opinion of the Chachamim, and see whether we can understand from that the Chachamim would hold Efshel Sechtei Mutter. So we'll continue with that tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.